they had a shop at the exit of the bus. As soon as you go out of the bus, okay. you have this small coffee shop. What they did, they created a diffuser of a perfume of the smell of the coffee as soon as the door of the bus is opening. You are in the bus and you smell coffee.
Right.
So you it triggers for you the feeling that you want a coffee. And this is in the morning. So they increased their sales by 30% with this campaign simply by diffusing the smell of coffee on the door of the bus.
Wow. Welcome, Sana, to Marketing Coffee Podcast with Lijo. So it's a pleasure to have you here. I met Sana maybe during COVID or before that?
Yeah, during COVID, actually.
Yeah, during COVID, right?
Yes.
So yeah, we started to work on a couple of projects called Whoop. And then we moved on. We were in touch. She got involved in a startup. And while talking to her, I realized that there's a huge range of kind of knowledge that she has, which I think I should bring to the podcast. So even before we get started, Sana, just take us through. I know you're in Lutron right now.
Yes.
Yes, and career, which is FMCG. And so take us through your journey so far.
Sure. First, thank you for having me. It's amazing to be part of your podcast. I watched a couple of them and what you're doing is fantastic.
Thank you.
It's amazing to raise awareness about what marketing is in reality and not just one part of it.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing this for all the marketeers in the world.
Thank you.
So in a summary, my career touched upon FMCG, as you said, and in terms of industries, it was mainly in consumer goods in terms of products that are related to fragrances.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked for a fragrance house. And then now currently I'm in the lighting industry.
Mm.
I've always been in marketing and sales. This is my passion in any case. So I think it's great to pursue marketing in different industries. And when you work in different industries, marketing is at the end of the day marketing. You learn the ABCs of marketing at school.
Right.
But how do you implement it in different industries? And what are the common points? And what do you learn to take marketing to a higher level? So what I learned through my career is that there's something very important, which is the emotions and the sensory marketing. If you talk about fragrances or if you talk about lighting, if you talk about the texture of cosmetics, because I work on cosmetic brands, then this is something I developed throughout my career. I worked on different countries also, in different countries. I covered in a scope of going from Middle East to Africa to South Asia, where I also discovered different insights, consumer mm-hmm. insights, expectations of the market, trends, etc. So yeah, this is a summary about my career. I'm not going to bore you into the details.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic because it's important for the audience who are listening in to understand the range of experience that you have all these years. And very interesting, when I got talking to Sana and the kind of career she's had, sensorial marketing, right? That's unheard. It's kind of something that everybody goes through on a day-to-day, especially in a place like Dubai, where retail is big, hospitality is big, the big industries that's there. So for all the CMOs out there, and I think that kind of marketing should not be restricted, even offices for that matter, to increase productivity, right? There's so much of stuff that can be done. So just take us on a top line basis, like if it's a layman and he's listening into the podcast, what is sensorial marketing?
Sensorial marketing is a technique that is using all this or touching upon all the senses of your customer or your consumer to connect on an emotional level.
Right.
Once you connect on an emotional level, this is when you can change behaviors. This is when you can build equity. This is when you can build that trust with your customer or your consumer. So it's basically providing the right smell mm-hmm. linked to your brand identity, but also to the expectation of your customer or your consumer. Same when it's coming to lighting, ambiance, atmosphere, colors around your shop or colors around your product, the touch, what kind of touches in terms of textures. If we're talking about the product, it's the texture of the product. The packaging also plays a role. If it's velvety, it can create a certain perception. If we are talking about the ambiance, the atmosphere, if you choose to have a leather couch or a velvet couch in your shop, this also impacts the positioning of your brand, what you want people to, what do you want to convey to your customers?
So if I look at sensory senses, can come from multiple angles, right? Mm-hmm. Are there different heads under which we call sensorial marketing? Is it touch? Is it smell? What are the different heads under which you can impact a consumer? What are the different senses under which you can impact a consumer?
All the senses.
Okay.
Let's take Emirates.
Right.
Emirates, they have their olfactive signature, their sound signature. The way
Correct.
They end their, it's also the sound, right? The way they light their offices, the way they light their customer service point, touch points. So you can work across all the senses in a way that they are corresponding to your brand identity and create your own signature. We talk about olfactive signature, for instance.
Right.
This is branding. It can go from an individual, by the way, someone you can remember just by the smell. I love this saying. I don't know who said it, but I read it somewhere. The fragrance is your presence in your absence.
Wow, okay.
So if you can leave this memory by someone smelling your olfactive signature and remembering your brand or the experience that they lived there, if be it a hotel, be it a shop, you created a very big impact.
Absolutely. A very patent point is like the fact that Emirates, the moment it lands and that music that comes in
exactly.
and it blows that air, so you immediately you feel like a kind of relax that, okay, now you arrived.
Exactly.
Right? So the arrival itself brings in so many sense from the different options. So just going deep diving into the different. So like, for example, I was just talking to a friend of mine before coming here. Like when I go to Starbucks and sometimes I work out of Starbucks, maybe at around 1 o'clock, I get this strong smell of warm croissant.
Yeah.
And I'm on a very strict diet, but it's kind of triggers of a different kind of emotion. Is that deliberate? Is that some part of the marketing? Is it actually, or is it, oh, it's just that they bake fresh at that point of time?
Some shops, they don't even have a bakery.
Right.
They bake it somewhere and they bring it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's not real. It's not the real smell of baking, of the croissant, of, you know. So it's a created fragrance for that. So that when you, there's a brand who did a great marketing campaign. They had a shop at the exit of the bus. As soon as you go out of the bus,
okay.
you have this small coffee shop. What they did, they created a diffuser of a perfume of the smell of the coffee as soon as the door of the bus is opening. You are in the bus and you smell coffee.
Right.
So it triggers for you the feeling that you want a coffee. And this is in the morning. So they increased their sales by 30%. With this campaign, simply by diffusing the smell of coffee on the door of the bus.
Wow.
This is a behavioral change that you can create.
Yeah, so I don't I, from going forward, I will not trust any of the smells that comes through without.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I think audiences are also educated. So good you touched on this case study. So are there any other case studies that you like, which you would like to bring to the audience, which people are not aware of from sensorial marketing point of view?
Yes, definitely. So I would like to give two examples. One example is more about, yes, increasing sales. So
yeah,
the tricks of brands, what
right.
they use. For instance, in casinos, they did researches and they noticed that a certain floral smell, a blend of certain floral smells, would encourage people to play more, to bid more.
Wow.
So they diffused the smell of this specific floral combination. So they are triggering the behavioral change of playing more,
mm-hmm.
right? This is an example. It might not be the best example of sensorial marketing, but it exists.
Yeah.
Another way, a case study, was done by a bank in Singapore, and they wanted to create a comfortable ambiance for their customers when they come, so they are not stressed about money topics. When you go to the bank, it's usually a stressful thing that you are going to do.
Right.
So they created a warm, enveloping kind of a smell so that when you enter, it soothes you, and then you are not feeling stressed, then you can do your transactions in a better way so that you can reflect in a better way. This is another way of using sensorial marketing. And we are here talking only about scent marketing because there are different other aspects of it that can be used.
Right. So reaching there, okay, and I'll come to the other aspects of sensorial marketing. Reaching for the scent marketing, is it a lot of hard work? Like, is it getting the right scent? Is there a lot of research? Is there a consumer research involved? Or how do you come to the right mix?
Yeah, that's an amazing question. Actually, it's a combination of many things. I'll give you an example. I worked on the what is the smell of the future, part of a project with Museum of the Future.
Okay.
So it's a very vague question. What's the smell of the future? Obviously, you need to put things into a context. So now let's talk about the smell of the future. We are in a Museum of the Future in the UAE.
Mm-hmm.
So first you look into who, what is the context, geographical context, so that you can start getting inspiration from the smells of that region.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, here we have the oud, we have the gaff tree,
right?
We have the dates.
Mm-hmm.
So you start looking into the cultural smells that people are used to recreate for them the elements that they're used to. Because you need a familiarity somehow in the fragrance.
Right.
With a touch of something that is intriguing. So how do you bring the thing that is intriguing?
Right.
Is through technology,
mm-hmm.
through trends that are happening internationally,
mm-hmm.
to add it to this, to create a smell that is imprinting, intriguing, interesting, and memorable.
Right.
So this is the way. Also, you have to add the element of what is your brand identity.
Right.
If you are talking Museum of the Future, it's chrome, silver,
right,
with a calligraphy. So it's the identity, the rooted in the culture, while looking to the future.
Modern,
So how do you do this?
Right.
So example is to take an ingredient that is rooted here, oud, but to create it with a futuristic technology.
Right.
And add some metallic notes to it in the head notes.
Wow.
Then you create something that is not common. You never smelled it. But with time, because you know in the perfume, it's a pyramid. You have the top notes that are intriguing, metallic, let's say. Then you have the heart. And then what is remaining, the bottom, after 2 hours, it becomes something soothing and reminding you of childhood, for instance, or of your culture or your roots.
Yeah, so for all the brand managers out there, brand guidelines does not limit itself to logo, colors, look and feel. I think that entire experience, especially if you're working in where there's human interactions kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So now coming to the second one, that which is like Lutron that you're right now, and it's more of lighting kind of a thing. So how does that play a role, and how does the brand play a role in that?
Yeah. So before I go into the lighting, which is an amazing also other topic about it, I just wanted to touch base about the importance of fragrance in the scent marketing, not only in the space, because I talked about this olfactive signature of a museum or a hotel, whatever. It can be very important when we talk about FMCG.
Right.
A very good example I wanted to share, because I worked on that project and it's very close to my heart. Persil Abaya Oud.
Right.
So this was launched by Henkel when I used to work at Henkel. And I remember that the team, the local team, came to us and they were like, I wasn't in the regional team. So I was not really aware of what is the imprinting smell, what we call. They told us, look, we need to launch something that is linked to consumer insights. Consumers, when they use their abayas, when they enter somewhere, they put it on top of the oud, the smoke of the oud, to have the smell.
Right.
So the idea was to launch Persil Abaya with the smell of oud.
Right.
So that you bring the consumer insight into a bottle, into the product. And it was one of the most successful products that were launched in Saudi at that time, like by Henkel team. That's a very, very good example of...
It's good you say that, because I worked with Henkel for the WHO project. That was one of the products that they were pushing. And now... looking back, it makes sense, right? And that consumer inside that they want, and that entire act of making sure it smells of oud. So I will not go into deep of, but it's very, I'm sure it would be very tricky because oud itself has got multiple facets, right? Multiple smells, and everybody has their tastes and flavor and the likes and dislikes of it.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing insight. Now, is there anything else that you worked in your career which kind of stands apart, or do we move on to Lutron kind of?
Let's move to the lighting. It's also another intriguing, immersive experience.
Yeah. So tell us, I mean, lighting for a common person, right? It's just, okay, it should be bright, well-lived. Is there, what are the different facets of lighting that goes into this?
So when we talk about lighting, it creates obviously the ambiance wherever you go. If you go to a restaurant, you can create a certain ambiance and a feeling to it just through lighting, right? And you can play with the lighting in the way it's dimmed, in the way the color is, in the way where it is placed.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different combinations with light that can create and elevate the experience of your customer,
mm-hmm.
be it in a restaurant, in an office, in a hotel room. All of these elements are playing a big role in your brand, on your brand identity and how you want to position it. And it also plays a role in your ROI, and I'm going to come to this later.
Okay. So now suppose I am a restaurant owner, for example, or setting up an office, or I'm an architect or an interior designer, and there are so many out there. What are the steps I should look, or what are the things, checkpoints should I have? And because rarely do these people have a marketing manager who thinks consumer insights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who looks at, like, they are pretty much related to the very dry architectural part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What should be, from a consumer standpoint, should they look at before deciding how the ambient should be? What should go into lighting?
Mm-hmm. So before I answer your question, do you know that there is a profession called lighting designer?
Okay.
So lighting designers are the ones who will be looking into all the details. If you give a brief to a lighting designer about your brand, your positioning, what you want to achieve with your restaurant, they are going to be able to give all the technicalities in terms of where to place the light, how to dim it, which color, when. Also, we talk now about the human-centric lighting, HCL. This means that the human is at the center of the design you are going to do with your lighting. What does this mean? Us as humans, our bodies operate through our connection to the natural light. This is why we are awake in the morning when the sun rises. I mean, I'm talking in general.
Right.
I know some people prefer to be awake at night, but in general, people are naturally programmed to follow the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our moments where we feel kind of down and tired, especially if the weather is not nice and you don't have the sun. In some countries, it's even quite difficult when you don't have the sun coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's recreating the same effect of outside and balance what you have in terms of lighting inside with the light outside.
Right.
So if it's very bright outside, you might want to match it so that you don't feel there's a contrast between what's happening outside and inside. And this is what we call human-centric lighting.
Right.
Right. And what, let's say, here in this case, if we have a brand manager working on a brand for a hotel or not a hotel, probably not, because they have designer managers. It's different. It's not a brand manager.
Mm-hmm.
So if you talk about the lighting in a restaurant, you will want to think about what is your positioning. Is it more about warm atmosphere? Is
white.
It party? Is it... And what I want to add here, it's lighting can provide you the flexibility to be a versatile space.
Okay.
With the right lighting control system that you have, you can change your entire setup of colors, dimming, etc., to transform a place from a wedding ballroom with certain lighting that you need into a warm, cozy restaurant just by changing the light.
Interesting. So I will not wait too long to ask the ROI question, because and I'm sure that every listener wants to say, okay, now this seems like a lot of work, right?
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Will I get the return on investment that I make in terms of making sure that this all the sensory parts of sensual marketing is working? So how do you make sure there is... In my mind, it's kind of getting very clear. And I'm sure there is a direct benefit, but I want to hear it from the expert. How do you get the ROI out of this?
Well, so the ROI comes from the versatility of the space that you have. Let's say you are in a hotel. You have rooms. Usually you can use them just as a meeting room. Then you have a certain lighting that you need for meeting rooms, and that's it. But your meeting rooms are going to be used, let's say, only during the day.
Right.
But what if you have a huge ballroom that during the day you are splitting into small rooms, mm-hmm. and then you have a wedding in the night?
Mm-hmm.
You don't use the same kind of lighting.
Right.
You have to change the lighting, right? There is also a way of what they call entertainment lighting.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean? If you want to create a concert, then it's going to be more on the reddish effect. But if you are not prepared, you don't have the infrastructure to change with just an app. This is what exists now with Lutron. Mm-hmm. We have a product called Athena. You just go on the app and you can change the spectrum of the colors from blue to red to whatever you want to match the event that you want, which means that your space, you can use it into so many you can rent it to so many different kinds of event that you are not stuck with only one. Like you see here, we have a certain lighting because
right.
we are doing a podcast.
Correct.
Let's say now we want to have a meeting with a presentation where we need bright lights, etc. If you have the lighting infrastructure that and the back end that allows you with just the tip of your finger to go on an app and change it to bright, then and you have probably fixtures here, then you can, and then you decide to make it as a warm place where you put many other tables because you are renting it for a cocktail, let's say.
Yeah. So very interesting, because it looks like a lot of technology behind it, right?
Yes.
Considering that there's a lot of technology behind it and there's a lot of manual intervention to make that there, do you think the big word in now, AI, will disrupt the way sensory marketing works?
Definitely. With data collection now,
mm-hmm.
we will be able to predict even the behavior, the expectations. We will be able to do programming that is faster and easier because we know, depending on the temperature, depending on the lighting, AI is definitely going to be there. This is not specifically AI, the example that I'm giving, but the sensors are playing a big role. For instance, I'll give you an example of another technology that we have at Lutron, not to seem like I'm promoting.
No, it's not, because that is not the intent here, but then it's about learning
Exactly. So these are examples from a brand that I work on
I
know. And probably there are other brands who are doing this.
Yeah.
This one specifically is kind of it's a patented technology with Lutron I'm going to talk about. It's a sensor that can detect the light from the outside,
mm-hmm.
from natural light,
mm-hmm.
with your curtains, your shades, motorized shades. When the light is too bright outside, the shades will close automatically.
Okay.
So that you save energy inside with the AC.
Mm-hmm.
The AC will not go down cooler because then you are maintaining the temperature of the room,
mm-hmm.
right? And then when if there's not enough daylight, then the curtain will open automatically. Everything is automated with motorized shades. And this is all done with a small sensor that can detect. And this is how you create the human-centric lighting, because then everything is automated in your space to create the right light at the right time to make the humans inside feel good, to save also energy.
Yeah, and I think maybe I'm oversimplifying. I think experiments can be run at scale through AI and put on different combinations of smell, light, ambience, so many different things, and see what is giving you the most, the best kind of experience, sales, brand experience kind of a thing, right? Which would have been limited by right now a lot of manual interventions and a lot of now data being king. So I think this is going to just open up a different world altogether. So now besides AI, right? Now Is there any kind of different innovations that is coming in the industry that one should be aware of? And like, if somebody's starting off now and they don't want to be like investing into something that is 4 years old, 5 years old, what are the latest innovations that's coming in the overall sensorial marketing industry?
Okay, so for fragrances, I can talk about AI, because then this is where you can have millions of combinations of ingredients at a very fast, scalable way. Correct. To create formulas that would have taken longer.
Right.
With humans. Doesn't mean that it will replace humans. Why? Because this AI is not creative.
Correct.
We still need the creativity coming from perfumers. By the way, there are only 600 perfumers in the world.
Wow, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. So perfumers are the artists. They are the creators. They still need to bring the creative part. However, when we talk about fast and scalable kind of perfumes, AI might be able to do it.
Right.
And to create it. Now, when we talk about lighting, it's already there. IoT is there. Mm-hmm. But it is taking a different level now. For instance, now you have technologies for the home automation. It's been there. Mm-hmm. Now you have IoT on a scalable, bigger level when it's coming to building management. If you have different hotels in different countries, you can log in from one single place on a dashboard and you can control all the lights in all these hotels across the world. You can have dashboards to manage your energy analytics and your savings, to have a proper ESG, etc. So the IoT is definitely happening in the lighting industry.
It's not a technical question. Though sensory marketing, is there research? Like, for example, in a retail store, for example, when you trigger off a perfume or a smell, or you trigger off some lighting.
Yeah.
Is there heat maps or mood sensors that picks up, like, did people become happier? How do you check that? Because I mean, otherwise it's just theory, right?
Yeah.
This is this perfume. Are there sensors that's happening with IoT that kind of picks up what's the kind of consumer behavior that's happening after that?
There are studies that are being done on the brain, the neuroscience, neuromarketing.
Yeah.
Where they make you smell something and then they measure, you have the map of the brain basically to see what got triggered. And there are patents now done by some fragrance houses, like Givaudan. They had the mood sense, for instance, which is triggering certain moods with certain combination of ingredients. So yes, you can definitely trigger moods and emotions through a fragrance. Same with lighting. If you put bright light versus if you put warm light, you can then measure what's happening in the brain.
So is this something that only large and big organizations like Emirates and can do, or is it something that even like somebody's opening up a restaurant or a coffee shop can do? Is it something that he should be aware of, or is it tough for the smaller business owners to do, or is it?
It's very easy. I mean, I'm saying it probably because I'm from the industry, but I'll tell you, it's like let's say we talk about scent marketing. There are diffusers. You can either put them in the AC or you can have the standalone ones. The standalone ones are not very expensive. And you can have, there are many suppliers here without naming, because I don't want to do publicity for nothing, but there are many of them who are putting probably one to two diffusers, depending on the space, and you can create it. It's not, people are doing it in the house, in their homes. So it's not something that is complicated or difficult to achieve, right? When we talk about scent, creating this atmosphere. When it's coming to lighting, is the same. All restaurants, they need lighting. They just have to go to the professional people. They have to hire a lighting designer together with an interior designer so that they can create the right atmosphere. And you might want to do cost savings on this, thinking, oh, I can do it myself. And just, but then the return on investment that you are missing on is big. Because by having the flexible space, by having the right atmosphere that makes people stay longer, or even the shades. By the way, I'll give you a case study. This was a small, I'm not sure, this was a restaurant. I'm not going to get into the details, right? They had an area that was all glass, without shades. It looks beautiful. However, they noticed that all these tables, at a certain time frame of the day, people were not sitting there because it was too hot.
Okay.
So they were missing on selling those tables.
Okay.
The moment they put shades that are...
The experience is gone.
Then they increased their sales by 40%.
Right.
So if you have the right tools implemented, be it a light or the fragrance that makes you feel comfortable, or even the music, by the way, it plays a very big role.
Yeah, we didn't touch that thing, right?
Yes, we need to come to this probably as a conclusion later on. And you have the right lighting. Sometimes you sit in a place and you are stressed and you don't know why. It's the light. The light is not good.
Right.
So people will not stay and order more and enjoy the moment. So you are missing on your net sales. So it's an investment. I look at it as an asset rather than as spending money, you know. It's not a cost.
Yeah.
It's an investment. And that's the way we should look at it.
Yeah. And I hope the smaller business owners or the larger business owners see that as investment. Because I think the sound itself, which we did not touch upon in deeply, because getting the right music, the right ambience, the makes a huge difference. I go to gym really regularly, and there are certain times the music is just pisses you off. It just brings down the entire entire energy for you to be drained. Like, okay, now I just can't go for another rep with this kind of music. So while we try to conclude this, anything that we are missing, because this very rarely do I go into marketing where I'm so excited because there's so much to learn more than anything else. And I'm sure I've learned so much. Anything while we're concluding this episode?
So yeah, to touch upon the music part you talked about, and your point, I also am a gym rat, so I relate to what you're saying. Les Mills, I don't know if you're familiar with
Les Mills. Yes, I know Les Mills, yeah.
So Les Mills, the entire concept was created by doing studies and linking the importance of music to the motivation.
Right.
And they created their entire the routine. If you look to the movements, they're all the movements we know from exercising.
Right.
But linking it to music, to the certain kind of music, created this atmosphere, created the, and also they played a lot with light.
Okay.
In their RPM class, for instance, they play with the light. Then it created more people engaged, more people motivated, and bigger groups got created. And it became a movement. And all of this is based on music. So, music is also an important element.
Yeah. So all this comes together. Just one question. While you did do mention Les Mills, like a lot of gyms like F45, are people looking at more genuine experiences of smell and sound and... lighting, is there a consumer trend of that, or are they just looking at the old experience? Is the consumer behavior changing with the millennials in what light or sound or music or kind of a place gives?
Well, first, it depends on the market we are talking about.
Right.
There are some markets that are more advanced than others with the exposure. If we talk about Dubai, obviously... The Gen Zs are exposed to everything, and they are probably, they have more of a statement and opinions to give, and they have higher expectations. I think they might not be specifically on a trend when it's coming to the profile of the perfume, but I think they look a lot into sustainability,
right,
environmental impact. So this is the part where it's important to have lighting that is taking into consideration energy saving and automated ways of not having the light open if it's not needed, regulating AC, all of these elements, fragrances that are also not harmful for the environment, that are also not into your face. I think this is the general trend that we see.
Yeah, and I think it's constantly evolving. So thank you so much, Sana, for coming on this podcast. How does somebody get, where's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me on LinkedIn. I think that's the best the best place to reach out to me.
Okay.
Sana Shoyak.
Okay. So get in touch with her on LinkedIn. So all the best, creating amazing experiences. Thank you once again for coming on my podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Same for me. Thank you for this discussion.
Thank you.